ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कांटो 2 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 5 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 5 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because we chanted this verse yesterday, I won't go through the word for word now. Sa'adideva jagatam paro guru.
Sa'adideva jagatam paro guru.
Sadhishnyam asthaya sisriksha yaikshata.
Sadhishnyam asthaya
Tang nadhya gachadrishamatra sammatam. Prapancha nirmana vidhirya yabhavet.
Prapancha nirmana vidhirya
yabhavet. So we're discussing this section of how Brahma became enlightened by invoking the mercy of the Supreme Lord by performing austerities for the sake of pleasing Him. So a great challenge for all devotees is to give up the material enjoying spirit. Srila Prabhupada often pointed out that devotional service is very easy. There's nothing difficult about opening one's mouth and saying Hare Krishna. Performing austerities like Dhruva Maharaj performed are practically unimaginable for us. But chanting Hare Krishna is no trouble at all. But still we find difficulty in devotional service. Now what is that difficulty? The difficulty is our own attachment to material sense enjoyment and material sense objects. The enjoying spirit. Even in the association of devotees, we may try to enjoy that materially. Srila Prabhupada mentioned three types of disciples. Actually, only one of them is really a disciple, that is the Guru Sevi, one who has a motive to serve the Guru. Another is a Guru Tyagi, gives up the Guru. He thinks that he knows better than the Guru and gives him up. Another case is the Guru Bhogi, one who makes a show of being a disciple, but who actually wants to enjoy the Guru. So, in material enjoyment, operates at various levels. There's gross material sense enjoyment, which devotees give up. There are other more subtle desires also. In the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami Prabhu, which is the subject of your seminar here in the morning, in the discussion of the weeds that can choke the growing creeper of devotional service, some of those weeds are mentioned. The first is nishedacha, or forbidden activities. So devotees who are serious, who are actually devotees, they give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, going to cinemas, watching TV, eating food cooked by non-devotees, and all kinds of activities that are directly and forbidden in devotional service. And the next one that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned is kutinati, or diplomacy. That means putting on a show of being something that one is not, or pretending to be someone's well-wisher, but actually one has a hidden motive to exploit the other. So someone may show himself to be a great devotee, but they may have some other motive. And that may be very hard to detect. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out in teaching Rupa Goswami, the weed, or the weeds which stifle the actual creeper of devotional service, they may look almost exactly the same as the original creeper. So the third one Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions is Jibe Hingshan, which is violence to living beings, which apart from the gross activities of, for instance, killing animals, means to neglect to benefit them by preaching Krishna consciousness. That's the interpretation that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave. Then Lab, Puja, Pratishta, Jato, Upashakagon. The desires for monetary, one's economic condition is improved in the name of devotional service, or one is respected by others, or one gets some position or post. So these are all they're the gross nishidacha, forbidden activities, and many subtle ways in which we can try to enjoy, maintain the enjoying spirit, even while superficially performing devotional service. So therefore some tapasya is required. Some deliberate endeavor to cut down our enjoying spirit. For instance, those who are not accustomed to it, rising early in the morning seems to be a great austerity. That also means or implies that one has to rest early. But for persons who are addicted to gross materialistic sense enjoyment, the night time is the time when they most engage in sense gratification. Is it not that the most concentration of sinful activities is in the night time? People visit restaurants to eat all kinds of ghastly things, and or they eat their main disgusting meal at night at home. They go to cinemas, or on the TV, the most exciting programs come late at night. And of course, generally at night, people indulge in that thing which keeps the whole world moving on, which is sex. So to take rest early and rise early is to rise early for the sake of chanting Hare Krishna is really antithetical to the gross materialistic enjoying way of life. And one who does that regularly, they will find that simply by doing that, they become purified. Those who regularly rise early, chant the holy names, engage in devotional service, they're purified by this process. Still, Krishna may kindly arrange some more intense purification for us. If we're ready to take the order of the Guru who engages us in intense devotional service, that will help to purify us in a very intense manner. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he would send disciples out. Okay, you go to Japan, you go to Malaysia, you go to Russia. So devotees going to new places, they had to be really endeavor and take on many difficulties to preach Krishna consciousness in those places. So it was very intense purification by dedication, and they got the great mercy of Krishna. Now that's quite different from the approach where the Guru says, okay, just do whatever you can, however you can, whatever you like, at least pick up your bead bag from time to time. So one comes under the guidance of a guru to be directed into activities that one likes to do and one does not like to do. No one would, unless someone is very deceitful and they have a very wicked agenda from the outset. Those who approach a guru in Krishna consciousness do so because they want to be Krishna conscious. They see the devotees are chanting and serving Krishna and they think, I want to be like that also. But they, when they submit themselves thus, then they also have to be prepared to be told not only chant Hare Krishna and be happy, but maybe also chant Hare Krishna and be unhappy. One may be given some very difficult challenge. Of course, that will be the means for one to come to the ultimate platform of happiness. It's not really unhappiness. But initially we may take it to be something that we don't want to do. And even Srila Prabhupada related that when in a dream his spiritual master kept calling him, now you leave family life, take sannyas. Srila Prabhupada thought, I don't want to do that, that's horrible. As he told us. Similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami, who is known as the most renounced, or the one who, let's put it another way, the one who practiced the most intense austerities among the six Goswamis, he prays to Sanatana Goswami that you forcefully engage me in renunciation. And he prays, yes, thank you very much for forcibly engaging me thus. So if we're prepared to take those difficulties in devotional service, that will be the means for us to make quick advancement. And even if we're not prepared, then Krishna may force it on us. As Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport later in this chapter, the Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. Then again, in this section, in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes about the secret of success. Several times Srila Prabhupada speaks of the secret of success, and it might not be exactly the same in each case. So in the purport to the 8th chapter of this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. The 8th verse of this chapter. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of the disciple, and this completely faithful execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success. So this mirrors the statement of the last statement of the, or the last verse of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katita yartha prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto one who has firm faith in the Supreme Lord and the Guru to are all the imports of the Vedic literatures automatically revealed. So we might follow those orders just as a matter of routine while harboring various mental conceptions, manoratha, in our mind. But even to go on day after day just following the basic principles, that in itself is a kind of penance for persons who are accustomed to enjoying this material world. I remember a few years ago in Croatia, one devotee, or supposed to be devotee, asked me, how can you go on year after year, rising early in the morning and chanting and following all these principles? Well, once you accept a guru, that's what you contract to do. And what's the alternative? The alternative is falling down from devotional service, or making some compromise and show of devotional service. Nowadays we hear so much about being non-judgmental and accepting and embracing all the devotees. So this is a very convenient philosophy for those who want to be devotees without following the basic principles, and then just say, well, just love everyone. It used to be in our movement that anyone did anything wrong, that's Maya Prabhu. It was a very clear distinction between what should be done and what should not be done. But that clear distinction seems to be lost, so that everything is more or less okay. So we might believe that, we may like to believe that, but still, the laws of the universe run on despite our own concocted philosophies. So there is devotional service and there's Maya, and the two are categorically different. If we try to mix the two, it doesn't work. Chit-jaravad, to mix the spiritual with the material. It's actually chit-jaravad. So you can artificially try to mix the two. It's like within a container, you have oil and water and you shake them and they appear to be homogenized, but within, if you just stop shaking and put the container down, in a short time they'll separate. So the Mayavadis, they don't make any clear distinction between Maya and non-Maya. And pretentious devotees also don't. But if we're serious to come out of Maya, then we have to have a very clear vision of what is Maya and what is Krishna consciousness. And we have to consciously, at every moment, choose to do that which is pleasing to Guru and Krishna and to reject everything else. So this is the penance for a devotee. To always choose what is beneficial for our devotional service rather than that which our mind desires. So even though we are absolutely unfit candidates to perform austerities like Brahma performed or like Dhruva Maharaj performed, still we have to perform the austerity of not indulging the mind. As Srila Prabhupada points out in another purport in this section, even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. One anecdote which I heard many years ago, I think it was even before I was initiated, was of devotees in Germany who were engaged in the service of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in public places. And one morning, it was especially dark and cold and raining, and the devotees decided, well, the weather's just too bad. We're not going to go on book distribution today. We'll just take a break. So they decided to do that, and all of a sudden they heard the sound of a jackhammer breaking up the road. And nowadays they have some big fancy device. But now, in those days, he used to, the man would stand putting his foot on the pneumatic drill and as it broke up the road. And in those days, they weren't so sophisticated that they'd use these ear mufflers. So the devotees realized these karmis, they're going out in this absolutely horrible weather to perform absolutely horrible ugra karma for the sake of sense gratification. So we should also go out for the sake of pleasing Srila Prabhupada to distribute his books. For the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna. If the non-devotees can work so hard just to get some miserable sense gratification, then which only lead to frustration and misery, then why can't devotees work hard in devotional service, which actually brings great pleasure? As devotees are experiencing in this festival, devotees are working hard in various services. This cooking department, they miss most of the programs. They're working hard in the kitchen, but they become very happy because they're serving the devotees by doing so. And if we go on in this way, dedicating our life to Krishna, then as Srila Prabhupada writes in another purport in this section, which I'll read just after this. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. And Brahma himself is the example, who, having received the order to perform austerity, executed it with complete faith and determination. So elsewhere in this section, Srila Prabhupada also writes, in executing penance, one must be determined to return home, back to Godhead, and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. So by studying this section of Bhagavatam, that gives us an impetus that it can be done. It's not only for Lord Brahma, it's for insignificant persons like myself also, we should think. Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmayama mupashritaha bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agataha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that many persons who gave up material attachment, fear, Srila Prabhupada explains this fear to mean a fear of surrendering to Krishna. What will happen if I surrender to Krishna? So by giving up material attachment, fear, and anger, that anger may manifest as, well, I tried to serve God and he didn't help me and I reject God. So Krishna says that many, many persons who gave up attachment, fear, and anger, and who took shelter in me, being completely absorbed in me, many persons, Krishna said, by knowledge and austerity, they became purified and came to me. So in Bhagavad Gita gives the basic principle, and in Srimad Bhagavatam we have so many examples of persons who actually did this. So there will be many challenges in devotional service. All the challenges, they are different forms of Maya testing us to see if we are serious to overcome our material attachments and to see if we're ready to fully surrender to Krishna. And Krishna will help us. We'll become purified. So with such faith that is bolstered by studying the section, all these sections of Srila Prabhupada's books, we go forward in devotional service, determined on our journey back home, back to Godhead, with faith that if we simply try seriously, then Krishna will certainly help us. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyantite. Krishna says, for those who are constantly in devotional, engaged in my service and who worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they come to me. So, let us do that. Let us all go forward on the path back to Godhead. Very easy, chanting and hearing about Krishna. And very difficult, as much as we are attached to this material world. But if we stick to this process, seriously trying to serve Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, then certainly we will make tangible progress. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Now, alright, I guess we have time for maybe one or two questions.
Вообще пишу.
Ну, Гуру Махарадж, меня просто заинтересовал момент, когда мы смешиваем масло и воду и пытаемся духовное и материальное соединить в нашей жизни, в нашем служении.
When you mix oil with water and говорите, and trying to combine spiritual and material.
Любопытно просто понять, где мы можем осознавать. How can we understand that this is oil and this is service,
and how they are mixed?
Yeah, very good question. How to understand the example of mixing oil and water? How to understand what is oil and what is water? How to understand what is spiritual and what is material? Because to the materialist, devotional service seems to be material. We engage the body and the mind, which are material. So the difference is in the attitude and the motivation. A materialist gets up in the morning and brushes his teeth. So does a devotee. A devotee's brushing his teeth is a spiritual activity. You may say, well, what's spiritual about brushing your teeth? We don't find that in the list of items of devotional service. Shravanam, kirtanam, teetha brushanam. But actually we do. In Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, he mentions in the beginning, because it's chronologically in the beginning of the day, danta dhavana, which means cleaning the teeth. It's not emphasized on the level of hearing and chanting about Krishna, because it doesn't in and of itself purify. But because a devotee's motive is Krishnarthe kila cheshta, everything we do for the sake of Krishna. Therefore, even his apparently mundane activities are spiritualized. Whereas even the apparently spiritual activities can be materialized. As I quoted from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami, that one may perform devotional service with the motives of lab, puja, pratishta, of monetary gain, of being respected, of having some position. Sometimes the material attachments are very gross and easy to see, but they may be very subtle also. So in summary, it depends on our attitude. If we're actually doing everything under the guidance of, or in line with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then even keeping accounts, dealing with legal matters and managerial matters, cleaning the floor, they all become spiritual. That doesn't mean that we that they're substitutes for hearing and chanting about Krishna.
Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, go ahead.
Откуда взялась концепция?
Stop.
Я говорю.
Stop. Take the mic.
Guru Maharaj, откуда взялась концепция сначала заслужи, потом желай?
What is the origin of the concept? First deserve, then desire.
Yeah, anyone for on the topic of the class, first of all?
По теме лекции вопросы есть?
Give it to Smita Krishna. Smita Krishna.
В комментарии говорится, тот, кто стремится постичь истину и обрести совершенное знание, должен искать премудрости Господа.
I think you have to read more loudly. Is it? Speak more loudly.
То есть в комментарии говорится, что тот, кто стремится постичь истину и обрести совершенное знание, должен искать милости Господа, иного пути просто не существует. Гуру Махарадж сказал, что преданные, которые поехали во времена Прабхупады в Китай и так далее, совершили много аскез и получили эту милость. Можно как правильно понимать, что такое милость Господа?
Which verse is that?
It's in the Prabhupada, last two sentences of the Prabhupada of the Feet, verse 5. Those who are eager to understand the absolute truth and attain perfect knowledge should seek the mercy of the Lord. There is no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And the last sentence is to try to understand the truth by one's own means is a waste of time.
Mm.
So, it is known that those devotees who follow Srila Prabhupada's order went to preach in some in such places as China. They attained his mercy and Krishna's mercy. So, how is it mercy? How is this mercy manifest?
The mercy is manifest as bhakti pareshanu bhava virakti ranyatra. That one becomes cognizant of Krishna, one experiences Krishna, and one is simultaneously detached from all that is material. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there.